we can feel when we walk in the door. Man, it's a privilege and an honor to stand behind this pulpit and to minister the word of the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. In absence of our pastor, of course, I know you'd rather see and hear him, and I don't blame you, because I would too. Amen. But he ain't him. Amen. I is. I am. I be. So, amen. We're gonna do something together tonight, and who knows? We may be able to get to McDonald's before anybody else. Hallelujah. But I appreciate this. I appreciate our pastor. I appreciate the anointed teaching that we can hear. And somebody made comment before church that this conference where Brother Sutton's gone is going to be tremendously blessed by his ministry. And I really do believe that tonight. Amen. And I appreciate you. Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. And we'll just see what God can do. God spoke this word to my heart, I don't know, a few weeks ago, week or so ago. And we'll just give it to you. Amen. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And we find here the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who would later be called Paul, after being struck blind on the road to Damascus, the Lord giving him instructions to go to one called Ananias, and that he would tell him what he would do. At the same time, this man named Ananias was praying, and the Lord spoke to him and told him that this one called Saul of Tarsus was coming to see him. And he questioned the Lord, and, you know, I don't understand why he would be coming to see me, because I've heard a lot of bad stuff about this guy. But I want to pick up in verse 15 of chapter 9. And this is what the Lord said to Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Somebody say, chosen vessel. Unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Amen. Why don't we lift our hands and ask God to bless this word tonight. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness and your mercy, for your kindness, Lord, for strength, God, that you give us each and every day. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint these lips of clay. I need your touch. I need your power tonight, your anointing. Touch every heart, every ear, God, to hear the word of the Lord in this place tonight. We give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Why don't you give the Lord a good hand of praise before you're seated tonight? He's worthy. He's worthy. I said he's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. I love to praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. Amen. I want to, boy, y'all get quiet fast. Y'all can make a preacher nervous. I don't even hear any shuffling in the chairs or anything. Hallelujah. I want to take my text from the 15th verse of Acts chapter 9, and it's somewhat of an odd text, brother Dustin. Because I kind of battled with it in my mind when I felt like the Holy Ghost spoke this to me, because it was somewhat of it just didn't seem right that it would be a statement that I would even use. But I want to take it from verse 15 of chapter 9, when the Lord spoke to Ananias about Saul, who would later we would know as Paul, that he was going to use him as a vessel unto him, unto God. He said, I've chosen him as a vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. And I want to take that word vessel and I want to put it in a text or a title, simply as this: God needs a vessel. And after writing this down, Sister Vita, and I got to looking at this, I kind of started chuckling to myself. And I started thinking, I'm like, God needs a vessel. And I started thinking, I thought, well, after all, if God is God, what does He need a vessel for? If He's God, Brother Corey, He's God. He's got it all. He's complete in Himself. And He doesn't need anything to make Him God. But when you think of need, the first thing that come to my mind was how much I need God. We're going to talk about what God needs tonight, but before we can ever talk about what God needs, I want to talk about what I need. Because I need God. Amen. Let me tell you what need means. Now, this is my source, is the American Heritage Dictionary. And it simply said this, Brother D'Antoine, that need is a condition or situation in which something is required or wanted. It's a necessity, an obligation, or to have need of, or to require. When you think about a need, you think about something that you cannot do without. Amen. When you think about something that you need, you think about water and you think about air, because we can't live without water and we can't live without air. We need those things. And let me tell you something tonight. Before we talk about what God is needing tonight, I want to say this. I need God a whole lot more than He needs me. Can somebody say amen? If I jumped off the wagon today and you never saw me again, the kingdom of God carries on. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, if I was to leave today, the kingdom of God moves on. It doesn't stop because I stop. It doesn't cease to exist because I cease to exist. The kingdom of God does not revolve around me. The kingdom of God doesn't need me as much as I need the kingdom of God. I want you to follow me just a few moments here tonight. The Bible talks about of His increase, of His government and peace, there shall be no end. It's an everlasting covenant, whether I'm involved in it or not. Understand what I'm saying tonight. Whether I'm here or whether I'm not here, the kingdom of God moves on. Well, I got a couple of amens. I believe that. I really do believe that. The kingdom of God moves on. The kingdom of God is not diminishing. The church is not going down. The kingdom of God is not going down. Amen. We're not going down. But it's moving up. And whether I'm here or not, it moves. It goes. And it's not going to stop. But God needs something. And I want to share that with you tonight for just a few minutes. God needs a vessel. The kingdom of God, as ironic as it sounds and as contradictory as I'm probably making it tonight, the kingdom of God needs vessels in order to operate. The kingdom of God needs a vessel, or needs vessels, needs people. Needs somebody that He can work through in order to accomplish His goal. Amen. Let me explain further. Dustin, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 24. If you want to get your Bible, we're going to read a couple of scriptures tonight. So I hope you don't mind. Amen. We're going to read a couple of scriptures tonight. God is complete in himself. Let me tell you who God is. And let me give you a few scriptures tonight to let you know that God doesn't need us as much as we need him tonight. Isaiah 44 and verse 24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." He did it by himself. When he created the heavens and the earth, he didn't get a committee together. He didn't get a group together. He did it all by himself. He said, "I'm God all by myself. I spread abroad the earth, that spreadeth the earth by myself." Isaiah 45 and verse 22. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." Do you believe that he is God by himself tonight? Do you believe that there is only one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism? He doesn't need anything to make himself complete. He's complete in himself. Amen. Isaiah 46 and 9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." He's God. Have you just stopped sometimes and begin to try to comprehend God? If you've got it figured out, come let me know, because I haven't got it figured out yet. When I try to comprehend God, my mind, my finite mind cannot comprehend just who God really is, because he's so awesome and he's so powerful. And I wonder sometimes, God, if you're who you say you are, why do you need me? He's God by himself. He does not need any help being God. I said he doesn't need any help being God. Several years ago, there was a song, and you may have heard it. It's been years. I mean, I was probably a teenager the last time I heard it. And it went something like this: "Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going." And I thought about that. Me and Jesus, we don't got our own thing going. He's got it going, and I'm just along for the ride. Amen. He's complete in himself. Can somebody say amen? And he certainly doesn't need a committee or other persons to make himself who he is tonight. Isaiah 9 and 6, a scripture that's quoted here probably more than anything else. "His name shall be called Counselor." Say it with me. "The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is God. He is the Mighty God. John 1 and 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And then in verse 14 it said, this word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is absolutely God tonight. He really, 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 really doesn't need me when you think of it like that. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Ephesians 4 and 5 said, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. Aren't you glad you know who He is tonight? Aren't you glad to know that He is God and He is in control and He is not off the job tonight? He knows what He's doing. Amen. He never takes a vacation. He never takes a break. He's always God. He's doing what God does. You remember the story on Mount Carmel when the prophet was making fun of the prophets of Baal. Where's your God now? Why hasn't He answered by fire? He must be on a vacation. Our God never takes a vacation. Sister Bonnie, He's always on time when we call on Him. He's there when we need Him when we're in sickness. He's there when we need Him in our everyday life. He is God, and I need Him tonight. Hallelujah. If you need God, give Him a hand of praise right now. Hallelujah. I want to go back to my text tonight. God, even though He is who He is, He operates within a set of principles. And those principles are within the pages, if I could get my finger around it, of the Word of God. He does not operate outside of this book. Brother Jeff, you said it tonight. Where is he? Amen. He said it. He stepped out. He said it tonight. The Word of God is really all that we have. You can say, I believe and I think and I understand it to be this way or that way, but it really boils down to what the Word of God says. And God operates that way. And I want to get back to that text. God needs a vessel. If you go back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said God created. He would later make something that He would call man and woman with a free will to choose. And we know the story that man would sin and then God would begin a journey with man to bring him back into fellowship with Himself. But God chose to make a man, a man that He knew was going to fall, a man that He knew was going to fail, a man that He knew was going to sin, Brother Larry. God chose a man to make a man that had a free will that would choose whether he would want to serve God or not. In time when man would become so wicked that the Bible said that God wanted to destroy him off the face of the earth, God found a man. Somebody say amen. God found a vessel, if I could say it like that tonight, to use. The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God chose a man, Brother Randy, to put His purpose in and to use for His glory. Later, when it was time to make a people unto Himself, God would choose a vessel yet again. And time would not permit me to go through the entire Bible tonight and give you example after example. But God would choose a man, a vessel, a man He would make a people out of. And the Bible said that He called Abraham. He called him out of his kindred and out of his land and said, I want to make you a great nation. But God chose a man. God really doesn't need anything. But let me tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart that God needs a vessel to work with. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? It was later when God's people would find themselves in bondage that again He would choose a man or a vessel that would go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. God could have come down by Himself, Brother Randy, and kicked Pharaoh around a little bit, but God chose to use a man to do it. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And we can go on and on throughout the Word of God and find example after example of God using people. And let me tell you something tonight. God needs a vessel. God has always used a vessel. God has always used a man. And let me tell you tonight, he still needs a man or a woman. He still needs a vessel that he can use. Somebody that will say, here I am, Lord. I know you need me. Amen. I want you to use me for your glory. Take me and use me how you want me to be used. And I submit to you tonight that God is indeed complete in himself. But when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to the kingdom and the need to carry out his desire, he will always choose a vessel. He will always choose a vessel. Amen. It was John that he chose when it came time for him to step out of glory and robe himself in flesh and to come to this earth. It was a man by the name of John, the Bible said, that he used to bear witness of his coming, to pave the way for the Savior. It was John who would introduce our God as, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He would also say that I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. God always uses a vessel. Amen. And tonight I want to tell you in this house tonight that God is still looking to use a vessel. I want to be available. Sister Bonnie, Sister Lindsay, would you come? I told you I wasn't going to preach long tonight. Would you stand to your feet? God always uses a vessel. God always uses somebody to carry out his work. Don't worry about how broken your vessel is. You may be looking at yourself and say, what kind of good can I give God? My vessel is broken. My vessel is marred. My vessel is not what it really needs to be. And you don't know the things that I'm going through in my life. And how can God use somebody such as me? But let me tell you something. Don't worry about how broken the vessel is. Don't worry about how marred you are. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about what God can do through you. I preached here a few years ago about the potter. I don't know if you remember that. It's been a couple of years. In Isaiah 64 and 8, the Bible said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. I know it sounds strange tonight to think that God needs you. And I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. I hope I've been as clear as I possibly can. If I left, God would carry on. But Brother Patrick, he's got to use somebody. He's got to use somebody. And it might as well be me. And it might as well be you. I want to be used of God. I know in Jeremiah, Brother Dustin, in chapter 18 and verse 1, God is talking to Israel here about the potter and the vessel, the clay. We can apply the principles of this scripture to us today. And it's simply this, the word which came to Jeremiah saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. God can make you what he wants you to be tonight. You're saying, but you don't understand. You don't understand the mistakes and the sin and the problems. But if you'll just make yourself available in the hands of the potter, he can make you again if he has to. If he has to break you and mold you and make you, he'll do it. But he needs a vessel. He chooses to do his work through humanity. Why? I don't know. But he did. And tonight, there is a work to be done. And I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight, in order for that work to get done, he needs some vessels. He needs somebody to work through. And the question tonight is, do you want to allow him to work in you? If God can take a man like Saul of Tarsus, an evil man that was performing evil things against the church, hauling people to prison, stoning people, God can take somebody like him and say, I've chosen him as a vessel. I've chosen him as a mighty vessel to carry my name. Don't worry about what God can or cannot do in you. And if there's a problem tonight, it can be taken care of in an instant. Amen. I want to read one scripture in closing. Would you just come stand around the altar, if you will, tonight? I want to leave this with you, then I want to share something with you. Because I know how the enemy works. I know how the enemy works. And we're not here to glorify the devil, though. He's a devil and he's a liar. And that's what I'm here to tell you tonight. The devil's a liar. He'll tell you you're no good. He'll tell you you're good for nothing. Brother Jeff, he'll tell you you don't have the words to say when you're witnessing to somebody. He'll tell you you can't teach a Bible study. He'll tell you, you just think of it, he'll tell you. But let me just give notice to the enemy tonight. He's a liar. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. As much as I need God, Brother D'Antoine, God needs me. He needs me to go to the high school and go to Arby's and go to Walmart. He needs me to go reach out to somebody and teach a Bible study or give a word of encouragement or to pray for somebody in the hospital. He needs me. And I don't know if you can feel what's happening in this church or not, but God is getting ready. He is wanting real bad to do something in this church. But he's not going to come out of heaven, Brother Corey. He's not going to split these walls in half and say, all right, I'm here. Let's go to work. Somebody say, he's going to use me. He's going to use me. In the year that King Uzziah died, the Bible said, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah was just overwhelmed. The whole earth was full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, he couldn't take it anymore. He said, woe is me, For I am a man. For I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. I know when you compare yourself to God, we're like a speck on a speck on a speck. We're nothing. We're little. We're insignificant. But God wants to use you, and God wants to use me. And he'll take care of whatever problem, whatever sin is in your life. Would you lift your hands and just love him? Would you think about what God is going to do with you? Would you think about what God is going to use with you? Don't think about what God's using Brother Cliff, and he's teaching Bible studies, and God's using Brother Patrick, and he's witnessing to people at the hair salon, and God's using Brother DeAntoine down at the school and down at Walmart or whatever. But can God really do that with me? Can God really cause my path to cross somebody? Amen. And to give a good word of encouragement. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. A Holy Ghost of encouragement. Of power. God can and God will use you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, fill me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Use me for your purpose. God needs a vessel. God needs a vessel. God needs a vessel. I want to be used. I want to be that vessel. Hallelujah. If he's got to break me, if he's got to change me, if he's got to renew my mind, I want him to do that with me. Use me, God. Use me, God. Reach over and lay hands on somebody next to you there and pray with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Pray that God will use them. Tell them God can use you. And God wants to use you. Hallelujah. You've got to be available to God. You've got to be available to God.